ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बहो। Today is the day when usually, especially in Bengal, people wish everyone the Vijaya Dashami, Shubho Vijaya. Of course, yesterday I was mentioning they do it in relation to Durga Devi, but the actual context is with Sri Ramchandra. Ramchandra annihilated Ravana yesterday. That was the day of victory. So after the victory, everybody greets each other for the celebration of Ram Vijayotsav. When did you come?
I'm outside, Maharaj.
I see. And how did you come?
With fire.
And you have arranged it yourself?
Huh?
Oh, you came with Bhagavad Dharma. Okay. Yeah, Chaitanya Priya was telling that you are coming yesterday morning.
Yeah, but we started yesterday morning. And the road was not quite good.
You started yesterday morning?
Yes, 6 o'clock.
So, happy Vijaya. Happy Ram Vijay. Hare Krishna. Okay, so today we will discuss about the second canto, 7th chapter, Scheduled Incarnation, text 46. And Te Vai Vidanti Atitaranti Cha Deva Mayam Devai vidantati taranti cha deva mayam. Stri, shudra, huna, shabara, api, papa, jivaha. Stri, shudra, huna, shabara, api, papa, jivaha. Yadi adbhuta krama parayana shila shikshash jad adbhuta krama parayana shila shiksha tirjag yana api kim u श्रुता धारणा ये तीर्जग जनापि किम किम उश्रुता धारणा ये ते वै वितन्तति तरन्ति च देवमायाम् स्त्री शूद्र हुना शबरापि पाप जीवा
शबरा
Jadadbhuta krama parayana shila shiksha Tirjag janaya pikimu shruta dharanaye Devai vidanti taranti cha deva mayam Sri Shudra Huna Shavaraya Pipapa Jiva Jadad Bhuta Krama Parayana Shila Shiksha Tirjag Janaya Pikimu Shruta Dharanaye Devai vidantati taranti jadeva mayam Sri Shudra Huna Shavaraya Pipapa Jiva Jadad Bhuta Krama Parayana Shila Shiksha Tirjag janaya pikimu shruta dharanaye
Deva vidanti ati taranti cha deva mayam Sri Shudra Huna Savara Pipapa Jiva
They, such persons, vai, undoubtedly, vidanti, do know. Atitaranti, surpass, cha, also, deva mayam, the covering energy of the Lord, stri, such as women, shudra, the laborer class of men, huna, the mountaineers, savaraha, the Siberians, or those lower than the Shudras. Api, although, Papa Jivaha, sinful living beings, Yadi, provided, Adbhuta Krama, one whose acts are so wonderful, Parayana, those who are devotees, Shila, behavior, Shiksha, training by, Tirjag Janaha, even those who are not human beings, Api, also, Kim, what, U, to speak of, Shrutadharana, those who have taken to the idea of the Lord, by hearing about Him, ye, those. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Surrendered souls, even from groups leading sinful lives, such as women, the laborer class, the mountaineers and the Siberians, or even the birds and beasts, can also know about the signs of Godhead and become liberated from the clutches of the illusory energy by surrendering unto the pure devotees of the Lord and by following in their footsteps in devotional service. Please repeat after me. Surrendered souls,
even from groups
leading sinful lives, such as women, the laborer class, the mountaineers, and the Siberians, and even birds and beasts, can also know about the signs of Godhead and become liberated
from the clutches of the illusory energy, by surrendering unto the pure devotees of the Lord, and by following in their footsteps in devotional service. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes there are inquiries as to how one can surrender unto the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 18:66, the Lord asked Arjuna to surrender unto him. And therefore persons unwilling to do so question where God is and to whom they should surrender. The answer to such questions or inquiries is given herein very properly. The personality of Godhead may not be present before one's eyes, but if one is sincere in wanting such guidance, the Lord will send a bona fide person who can guide one properly back home, back to Godhead. There is no need of material qualifications for making progress on the path of spiritual realization. In the material world, when one accepts some particular type of service, he is required to possess some particular type of qualification also. Without this, one is unfit for such service. But in the devotional service of the Lord, the only qualification required is surrender. Surrendering oneself is in one's own hand. If one likes, he can surrender immediately without delay, and that begins his spiritual life. The bona fide representative of God is as good as God himself. Or, in other words, the loving representative of the Lord is more kind and more easy to approach. A sinful soul cannot approach the Lord directly, but such a sinful man can very easily approach a pure devotee of the Lord. And if one agrees to put himself under the guidance of such a devotee of the Lord, he can also understand the signs of God and can also become like the transcendental pure devotee of the Lord, and thus get his liberation back to Godhead, back home for eternal happiness. So, realization of the signs of Godhead and relief from the unnecessary, useless struggle for existence are not at all difficult for the willing candidate, but they are very difficult for persons who are not surrendered souls, but only simple, profitless speculators. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militang Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtang Sthapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Bancha Kalpa Tarubhascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanang Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Bhashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Savai Vidanta Titaranti Cha Deva Mayam Stri Shudra Huna Shabaraya Pipapa Jiva Jad Adbhuta Krama Parayana Shila Shikshash Tirjag Janayapi Kimu Shruta Dharanaye. Surrendered souls, even from groups leading sinful lives such as women, the laborer class, the mountaineers and the Siberians, or even the birds and beasts, can also know about the science of Godhead and become liberated from the clutches of the illusory energy by surrendering unto the pure devotees of the Lord and by following in their footsteps in devotional service. So, in the previous verse, in previous three verses, the great Mahajans, the great devotees of the Lords have been described. The last few days we have been discussing about those great personalities, and today also I will discuss about some of them. I thought I'll carry on with the verses and also I'll discuss about those illustrious devotees whom we haven't been able to fully discuss. We only discussed about 16 out of 43 such devotees. So, now after describing about those devotees who are illustrious in their activities and in devotional service, they are exemplary because they are the devotees of the Lord. And they are not only full-time brahmanas, all those devotees. Many of them were great kings. Actually, most of them are great kings. So that actually indicates that devotional service is possible to be practiced by anyone. Anyone can practice devotional service and make spiritual advancement, become very, very exalted. And in this verse, it has been pointed out that even those who are apparently sinful, even they can become devotees of the Lord. Not just ordinary devotees of the Lord, they also can become pure devotees of the Lord. Generally, the Vedic culture is meant for the Brahminical people. The Vedas are very deep philosophical understanding about the spiritual reality. Vedas are describing the spiritual reality and its connection with the material nature. So Vedas have been established, Vedas have been given to enlighten the people with the real knowledge. What is this material nature? How this material nature became manifest? How was everything created? How is everything existing? Like all these questions have been answered in the Vedas, or the Vedas are giving us a very clear understanding about the absolute reality. Like what we are immediately perceivable nature is not the absolute reality, it's a relative reality. But beyond that, there is the absolute reality. For example, we are seeing that there are so many living entities. There are so many human beings, there are so many animals, there are so many birds, there are so many insects, there are so many worms, there are so many trees and plants. They all are living. We can accept that. We can understand. Anybody can understand. They are living.
These are living entities. But what causes these living entities to become alive? If we ask an ordinary person who hasn't been exposed to the Vedic wisdom, he wouldn't know the answer. Or we can ask even ourselves, before we came in contact with these teachings of Srila Prabhupada, did we have any knowledge about who we are? Why these living entities are alive? Where does consciousness come from? Did anyone here have any information, any knowledge before coming in contact with ISKCON? Not really, no. We may have admitted, we may say, oh, living entities. We may even went to the extent of identifying them as jivas, sajiv and nirjiv, living and non-living. So we may have accepted those factors, but we never had any clear understanding what causes a living entity to be alive. But today, do we have the answer? How many of you know what causes a living being to be alive? Raise your hands, please. What causes the living entities to be alive? Very good. And how many hands didn't go up? Aditya? Your hand didn't go up. You bujhte parecho tumi ami ki bolchi? Then, do you know what causes a living entity to be alive? No?
Creation.
Okay. Anyway, so good, you didn't know that, that's why you didn't raise your hand. What causes a living entity to be alive, Arunaksha? Living entity to be alive. Alive. The presence of the soul. The presence of the soul is what makes a living entity to be alive. And don't we see that? As soon as the soul leaves the body, what happens? As soon as the soul leaves the body becomes dead. And as long as the soul is in the body is alive. So this is a very simple science, but where do we get the information? This information? Can you get these informations in the books of physics and chemistry and biology? Even biology, the science of life. Even biology doesn't, a modern science. Biology is, literally biology means the science of life. Even that branch of science doesn't know what causes the living entity to be alive. What causes life? It's a science of life. But what they're doing, they're simply making some observations. But they don't have the proper understanding. Where do we get the proper understanding? Where did we get the proper understanding? We got the proper understanding from the Vedas, presented to us by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada's books are giving us this understanding. And isn't it a very simple knowledge? Isn't it very simple? Navadip? Yeah, simple. Presence of the soul causes the body to be alive. As long as when the soul takes up a new body, we call it birth. When the soul leaves the old body, we call it death. At birth, the soul accepts a new body. At death, the soul rejects the old body. Simple understanding. And even a child knows in ISKCON. Kartik, do you know? What causes a body to be alive? Bolega tum? Pata hai tumko? Sharir mein jeevan kaise aata hai?
Usse sharir mein se nikalne ke baad.
Haan, kon? Kon nikalta hai? Okay. So, even a child knows. So that is the uniqueness
or specialty of the Vedic wisdom. It is giving us the proper scientific informations about the actual reality. Whereas what goes on in the name of science in today's world is not science, is not dealing with proper knowledge. It's just speculation. It's just speculation. Through speculation they get some ideas, but not the real idea, not the real understanding. And until and unless they accept that real understanding, the presence of the soul, they will not be able to understand anything. They'll keep on speculating. Panthastu koti shatavatsara sampram. They may continue for hundreds and millions of years, but still they won't be able to understand. It's something like if a blind man tries to understand the light, will he ever be able to understand what light is? Because he's blind. But if by some means his eyes can be opened, then he immediately sees what light is. That is the real, that is what real knowledge is. So that's why, what is our prayer? Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya. Ajnana Timirandhasya. We are born blind. We are born in the depth of darkness. What kind of darkness? Darkness of ignorance. Ajnanati mirandasya. But Jnananjana Shalakaya. By anointing our eyes with a very special mascara of Chakshur Unmilitang Yena. One who opened our eyes. Who opens the eyes? Tashmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I offer my obeisances unto that spiritual master. So Vedas are actually giving these informations. The informations about the spiritual reality. Okay, here we have come to the point that we accept the presence of the soul. Now, isn't the activities of the soul so wonderful? The soul is performing in such a wonderful way. Like, how does the soul act in the body? Don't we see that not only, say for example, we are eating food. What is happening to the food? The food is transformed into body cells. There are various types of body cells. The bone cells, the fat cells, the skin cells, the muscle cells, the blood cells. All kinds of cells are being produced. And that is what this body is. And every single cell is so complicated that the most sophisticated laboratory in this world hasn't been able to produce a single cell. People, the scientists are claiming that they will create life. What to speak of life? They haven't been able to produce a single cell out of chemicals. They haven't been able to produce a single drop of blood in their laboratory. What to speak of, you know, life. What life causes to happen in the body, they haven't been able to produce that. What to speak of a cell like that? They haven't been able to produce a single tissue of the skin, which is actually the dead matter of the cell, the dead part of the cell. A nail, a dead part of the cell. They can't produce a nail. Anyway, our business is not to criticize them, but actually our business is to recognize, you know, how they are cheating people. That's what we have to recognize. Whereas the Vedas are giving the real scientific information. It's the presence of the soul that causes the body to be alive. Can anyone dispute that? Nobody can dispute that. If anyone wants to dispute, then Sitaram is ready to roll up his sleeves and get into a fight. That's what he wants to do when he goes back to South Africa. He wants to challenge, he wants to go to the universities and challenge. Life comes from life. And ultimately establish the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he wants to prove that God is black and he has a white girlfriend. I am sure in the present day South Africa he will become very popular. And he himself is following that footsteps. So that is the business that a devotee has. Establish that fact. Okay, you are saying that's what Prabhupada was doing. He was challenging everybody. You call yourself a scientist. You're claiming that you're going to produce life out of matter. But where is that? For so many years you have been claiming, you have been giving us, Prabhupada used to use the expression, a post-dated check. You're giving a post-dated check. Yes, you can cash it tomorrow. You can cash it day after tomorrow. But where is that money? You are giving us the assurance that you will do it. But where is the product? You are claiming you are spending billions of dollars saying that you are going to produce life out of matter. But you are taking the money, but you are not delivering the goods. Bad business. You'll be taken to court. In regular business, if somebody takes the money and doesn't deliver the goods, then what happens?
Cheater.
What's that? Yeah, he'll be considered a cheater. He'll be taken to court and he'll be punished. He'll be imprisoned. But that's what is happening with these so-called scientists. They're taking the money from the people and claiming that they will deliver the goods. They'll create life. But where's the goods? So shouldn't they be taken to the court? But the government is in cahoots with them. That's why they are not taken to the court. If there's a proper king, they will immediately take action. And as you said, forget life. Produce a single drop of blood in your laboratory. Produce a single grain of rice, or a wheat, or a mustard. Produce. What to speak of even blood? I will say produce a drop of mucus, which is a waste product of the body, in your laboratory. Then we will say that at least you have something, some ability. So that is the responsibility that the devotees have, to establish the facts and expose the cheaters. And that's what is the purpose of our preaching. And when somebody did that, Prabhupada was very pleased. Like there was one scientist in Sri Lanka. He's a Christian scientist. His name was Dr. Kavur. And Dr. Kavur actually was making a challenge that you have to prove God. And he was a scientist, so he made a thing that announcement in the newspaper that God doesn't exist. And one of our God brothers at that time, he was a GBC of Sri Lanka, Hansaduta, he took up the challenge. Hansaduta Swami took up the challenge and he smashed that guy. Completely smashed him. And Prabhupada was very pleased with him. Yes, expose those rascals.
And one of the things that Hansadutta made a challenge, that you produce life out of your laboratory. Then he went to the extent of, he said, not even a rice, produce an egg. And if you can't, then you have to admit that a chicken is a better scientist than you are. Because a chicken can produce eggs and you can't. So process is very simple. The knowledge is there. But, like any other knowledge, we have to receive it from a qualified teacher. Like that is the important consideration. Sometimes people may say, well, the books are there, I will receive the knowledge from the books. Like consider a child. There are books, so many books of alphabets. But can a child learn about the alphabets by himself? By reading a book, can a child learn what is A and B and C and D? Is anyone learned alphabets from a book by yourself here? So many scholarly personalities are here. Did any of you learn the alphabets yourself? How did you learn alphabet? Lakshminath?
Somebody is teaching.
Okay, very good. Somebody taught you. Isn't that the case? Like somebody told us, this is A, this is B, or this is A, this is A, this is E, this is E. Raga Pandit? Okay. So, that is the process of receiving knowledge. Even the alphabets, we have to learn from somebody. So when it comes to the spiritual knowledge, how can we say that we don't have to learn from anybody? So what is the way of receiving knowledge? The way of receiving knowledge is approaching a qualified teacher. And the qualified teacher can teach. The books are not enough. The teacher is most important. And the qualified teacher can teach even without a book. Right? Like some, didn't we sometimes learn the alphabet without the books? Our mothers or father or elder brother or elder sister wrote it on the slate. When we are young, we used to learn, we used to write on slates. Nowadays, of course, they have computers. Looks alike. So, but we used to use slates. And in there it was written, and how did you learn? We are meant to just write on top of it first. And then, this is how we learned. Of course, the books are necessary to reiterate, to revive our informations. But actually, it is a matter of receiving the knowledge, receiving information from a bona fide teacher. So that's what has been pointed out in this verse. That anybody can receive this knowledge, not only human beings. Even the animals can receive this knowledge. Even the animals can receive this knowledge. But the way is that one has to approach a qualified teacher. And that qualified teacher is a devotee of the Lord. And when we approach the teacher, then he gives us the informations. We don't have to be a big scholar. We don't have to have many qualifications. The only qualification for devotional service, only qualification to enter into spiritual life is surrender. Surrender. Like in today's world, there is so much competition. Actually, the more materialistic the world becomes, the more competitive it becomes. Nowadays, isn't there a lot of competition? even to get admitted in a particular school, like even for children, to get admitted in the big cities,
to get admitted in a school, to get the children admitted in a school, good school, the parents have to pay through their nose. They have to bribe them. They have to bribe the schools to get admitted. Of course, it's not called bribe, they call it donation to the school. But it's simply bribing. To get admitted to even primary school, children's school, there is so much competition. That means there is a consideration of qualification. Then they complete their school, they want to get admitted in a prestigious college, IIT or IIM. And what is the consideration? It's a huge competition. Only nationwide, only a handful individuals will be selected. Then they complete their studies. Then to get a job, there is so much competition. So in this material nature, it's a consideration of survival of the fittest. If you are not qualified, you won't survive. Whereas in spiritual life, is there any consideration of such qualification? Do you have to be a big scientist, or do you have to be a big engineer or a big doctor to be a devotee? No. What is the qualification? The only qualification is surrender. Right? And is it difficult? No. To surrender is not difficult. To not to surrender is difficult. Like if you have to fight, if you have to wrestle with a big guy, how will it be? Will it be easy? Aniruddha? I'm asking, if you have to wrestle with Navadvip Chaitanya. No, try to understand my question. Will it be easy to wrestle with Navadvip Chaitanya? No. So to try to defeat him will take a lot of effort. Right? But if you just at the beginning you say, I surrender Navadvip Chaitanya Prabhu, then do you have to exert any energy? No. So if it is difficult to defeat Navadvip Chaitanya, can you imagine how difficult it's going to be to defeat Krishna? The supreme powerful, the supreme personality of Godhead. So why get into an unnecessary struggle with him? Not even Krishna, his agents, Maya, so difficult to overcome Maya. It's impossible. So why get into a fight with Maya? Just surrender to Maya. Surrender to Maya means surrender to Krishna. You surrender to Krishna, Maya will say goodbye. Good boy. Not only that, Maya will take you by hand. Okay, come, I'll take you to Krishna. Otherwise, what Maya will do? What does Maya do? Maya is alluring. Come, enjoy me. Come, enjoy me. But then when one goes to enjoy Maya, then what happens? Yes, Maya kicks. Where? Right in the face, where it hurts the most. So Maya kicks. Come, enjoy me. And what do we get in return? When you go to enjoy, what do we get? How many of you have experienced it? You try to enjoy, you get suffering. So give up this enjoying tendency. Surrender unto Krishna. Don't try to exploit this material nature. Don't try to become the Lord and Master to exploit this nature. Just surrender unto Him. Surrender unto Krishna. And then what Krishna will do? Krishna will say, come. Good boy. I'm happy that you have surrendered. And then Maya will not become a dangerous element.
Maya will become a helpful element. Maya will help us to go to Krishna. So that is how simple this process is. So, I thought I'd discuss about some of the personalities today, but it's already quite 10 to 9. So I'll invite some questions. Does anybody have any question?
Is very difficult for the mental speculator to understand God. Why it is very difficult? It is impossible.
Hmm.
You know, is difficult.
Okay, let me read that. So realization of the science of Godhead and relief from the unnecessary, useless struggle for existence are not at all difficult for the willing candidate, but they are very difficult for persons who are not surrendered souls, but only simple, profitless speculators. Yeah. Well, here the expression difficult actually indicates impossible. First it is difficult and then it is so difficult that it's impossible. Okay. Yes, Arati?
I want to go back to the personalities that you've mentioned. Now, unfortunately, my note-taking on those days were not very strong. I apologize for them. What I have understood is the origin of mankind from Swayam Bhagavan and Satarupa, and then the children, Priyavrata and Uttaravada, and the daughters of Putideva, Vidya and Vashuti. I want to know when mankind started and when the demigods became human, or is it just that?
The demigods are another species altogether.
But the mankind kind of originated from them?
Not really, no. No, like they're from Brahma, but there is another Prajapati called Kashyap. Kashyap, and Kashyap got married to Diti, and Diti's children, Aditi, and Aditi's children are the demigods. Adityas, like Indra, Varun, etc.
So these personalities that I have mentioned,
who?
Akuti, Devuti, Prashuti, their children.
Yeah. Akuti, Prashuti, and Devahuti, like they were given in marriage to different personalities. And one of them, Prashuti, was married to Daksha. And she gave birth to many daughters. And those daughters were married to Kashyap, and Sati was the youngest, who was married to Lord Shiva. And this is how, you know, the genealogy started. I mean, it has, like, you can say Lord Brahma, then Prajapatis, right? Then Manu, Satarupa is another branch. Right. Along the Prajapatis who came from Brahma's mind, one of them is Daksha. Then there are Pulastha, Pulaha, Kratu, like Atri. Like from them, the progeny also came. Very, very defined, you know, genealogical chart is there. Not that, you know, first from Brahma came the demigods, and then from demigods came the human beings. It's not like that. There's one branch, demigods, another branch, demons, another branch, reptiles, another branch, you know, like this way. There are different species of life appeared.
Maharaj Sutra suggested that at some point the demigods enacted human pastimes, just like Lord Brahma enacted, you know, when Sri Krishna came, that the demigods enacted some human consciousness.
That they can do, like Krishna can make anyone take any form. Like Brahma became a human being, Haridas Thakur, right? Or sometimes, you know, Indra takes birth as some individual and so forth. Lord Shiva came as Shankaracharya. But we have to understand that these are their pastimes. Okay?
I don't think she satisfied with Maharaj, because the separation of powers, in the sense that Brahma is there and all of his beings came from him. So he's in that particular plane. So at what point were the humans, when they sent to the earth to say, okay, now you become the king of the earth planet, and you take your birth as a human, they take their birth as a human from Brahma, and then are sent to the earth planet to create Pranishas, so was Daksha. No, he wasn't a demigod, he was a human, taking his birth from Brahma.
No. Daksha is in another category called Prajapati. Yeah. Like, he is not exactly the demigod. He is another category, he is even superior to demigods, in a way. And as you were saying, maybe we can go a step backwards to understand this concept. here we have to, first of all, we have to understand that it is not taking, over a long period, extended period of time, right? Like, the initial stage of creation is quite sudden. Or abrupt, you can say. Like, what is actually happening? The living entities, through the glands of Mahavishnu, are coming into the material nature. Now, who are these living entities who are coming into the material nature? The living entities who, at the previous kalpa, when everything was destroyed, went back to Mahavishnu's body. Right? Along with their karma, along with the subtle body, which were in their the karmic reactions in the subtle body, the mentality, they were asleep, but the mentality was there, right? The subtle body had its specific shape, but they themselves were asleep, devoid of the gross body. Then as they wake up, they are awarded the gross bodies according to the by nature, by through the engineering of Lord Brahma. Right? Now initially those was given in a very quick manner, because they are the first who we have to consider that when you're coming from that region, from the subtle region, the first bodies that you are getting, the first individuals who are getting the bodies are very, very subtle living entities. Right? And the more they go deeper into the thing, region of time, the grosser and grosser becomes their bodies. Right? Now Brahma, like, what kind of body does Brahma have? His body is very close, although he has a gross body, but that gross body is very close to the subtle body. So much so that Brahma at his will can give up his body and assume another body. Like, that's what happened when his body became contaminated due to his wrong approach, wrong desire. He just gave up that body. That body has been contaminated. Give up. And his offsprings were so subtle that they could just come from his mind. Directly from his mind they're coming. Meaning what? Their bodies are so close to the mind or the subtle body. But then we become grosser and grosser. Our bodies become grosser and grosser. And more gross it is, more arrangement it needs to get the body. Like, consider a plant, right? The plant body a seed falls on the ground, right? Then it germinates, becomes a seedling, and then gradually, over a long period of time, it develops its body. It takes years to grow. Even the human beings, their bodies, takes months to develop the body in the womb of the mother. And then when the body is ready, when the body is complete, it comes out of the mother's womb. Now it can function by itself. Okay. Any other? Yes, Nitai.
The position of Manu, Swayambhu Manu, is described as the emperor of the earth planet or the whole universe. Because he is father of human species, but his position is even greater than Indra.
No, the universal affair is taken care of by Brahma. The in charge of the entire universe is Brahma. But then, according to, his position is much superior to the living and to the human beings, and he is actually taking care of the earth planet, generally. But his position is not superior to Brahma, superior to Indra. He is not controlling the heavenly planet. Heavenly planet is controlled by Indra. Right? But, his situation is quite similar to Indra's. Like, you can say, Indra's entourage. In a factory, you get shifts, the chief engineer, and the chief engineer is there in charge of the shift, right? And then he has his other assistants, and they're in a similar capacity, so to say. So similarly, you see, in a day of Brahma, the situation of Manu changes. So that is Manu's position, and along with Manu comes Indra, along with but Manu doesn't interfere into Indra's affair, nor can he help Indra to rectify his situation. When Indra is in distress, he doesn't approach Manu. He approaches Brahma. Right. Manu is in charge, but not in a direct way, because the earth planet has a king and the ruler of the entire earth planet is there. But, you see, he has his domain where he is the lord. But he has his influence over the earth planet, because the earth planet is meant for his offspring. Okay, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hare Hare Bol.